You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, soon to be Kentucky. Not soon enough. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, April 22nd, episode 3415 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You heard that right. It's Monday, the first day of a fabulous week of shows on Horses in the Morning. So saddle up and ride along. We promise to help you get through your week.
That's right. We're going to help you get through your week. We have a fun show planned for you today and a fabulous couple of weeks coming up. It's probably the busiest couple of weeks we have here on the show and in the horse world in general. Deanne is joining us from Horse Nation. She's going to discuss thoroughbred logic and setting examples and Mustangs. All three of those things. I have a study show. I'm going to do it a little differently this time, but it's still a guessing game on your part. And Jamie's going to pick up, she's picked up the bow again, like arrows and the bow. I got to find out about that. Plus, we have some equestrian first world problems. And hang around for the Auditor Post show. We're going to discuss class reunions because something happened this weekend that I went, holy crap. So anyway, we're going to do that. But we have a big 2 weeks. We have Rolex, and it's always followed immediately by the biggest race in the racing world, the Kentucky Derby.
It's seriously a Land Rover Defender Kentucky 3-day whatever. And then you've got that and badminton, so the Kentucky Derby and badminton. So if you're into eventing, you get so much to see. And horses racing, I mean, that's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. You know, that's what they call it. So it's even better this year. It's going to be more exciting because what they've done. I talked about it last week, where Churchill Downs is assigning a horse rescue to every horse in the race. There's going to be like a post position draw, and Horse and Hound was selected. And the winner of the race, if you are with the corresponding horse that wins, you get $25,000. And it trickles all the way down to nobody gets less than $5,000.
So for could use that.
Oh my God. For the rescue I work with, there is just, that's like handing somebody a check for $1 million. Like, you know, hey, this is like handing a homeless person a coat in the winter. So it's fantastic.
Well, you're getting to go have a girls' weekend. You're going with a whole bunch of your friends this weekend. I know you're going to see a bunch of listeners. So as far as the listeners are concerned, you're getting together Friday night. Right.
Yeah. So I'm heading out with a couple of my girlfriends, and we have a newbie coming this year, and she's an eventer and she's fantastic. And I just told her, I pre-warned her. I was like, listen, there's three things that this weekend encompasses. Four things. I said, it's walking, drinking, horses, and shopping. It's like, those are the four things we do. We just walk, shop, then drink, and we look at horses. Like, that's the whole thing. So she's coming, and we're going to do a dinner. Everybody is invited if you are going to be in Kentucky. Ramsey's, it's a very, like, a staple in Kentucky, but there's a lot of locations, you guys. So Ramsey's Masterson Station on Friday at 6:30. And that was pushed back. I would have had dinner at 4 because that's where I'm at in my life. But so 6:30 Friday, Ramsey's Masterson Station. If you haven't messaged me about coming, just send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, or a Facebook message, and I'll just try to get a grasp on it. I kind of told them 20, it may be 30, it may be me. So I don't know. We'll see. But everybody's welcome. If you're in the area, if you're heading to Land Rover, anything, auditors, non-auditors, anybody who's listening, please do come and check it out. It's going to be super fun.
So all of you people that saw me in Ohio and said, oh, I wish Jamie was here, and you're going to Kentucky, this is your chance, all right?
I don't do cruises, so this is what you guys
this is
get.
It. You better this go to Kentucky. Hey, also, I did, for the Dressage Radio fans out there, I spoke to Reese, and there's a chance she's going to come. She's going to be, she's home now. She made it home from Florida. So I know she had some truck trouble. She wasn't sure she was going to make it home, but she made it home from Florida, and I did invite her. She said she'd let me know, so there's a chance she'll be showing up as well. And, you know, it is the most exciting 2 weeks, so we're going to be doing some coverage. Sally's coming on Wednesday from Eventing Nation. She's going to kind of give us the lowdown, so you guys will know what to look for and who to root for when you go this weekend. Do you have somebody you're rooting for, or haven't you gotten that far in your mind yet?
Listen, for those who so the reason I'm celebrating this weekend is I have been going through my mother and all the stuff that's been happening for 5 months, and there's 5 months of pent up all the things, and I don't sleep anymore, and I'm so excited to dive in, but I am not, I don't have the mental capacity to dive into any of this until I get there. Okay. And I look at those sheets. So there's a many, many people I love, and as some of you know, there are many people that I don't like, so I'll definitely make that more clear as it goes, but I plan on going to gonna have some interviews and some fun stuff that I'll hopefully get something and send it to Glenn by Friday, but definitely by Monday I'll have a bunch of stuff too, because that's my travel day. So I don't know yet, Glenn.
All right.
I can't do it all. I'm very busy on the farm too. I have so many horses that are trying to kill me, and it's been great. It's fun. I love it.
Well, on that note, let's wish some people some happy birthdays. I have a couple auditor birthdays today, and that's Erica Harvey and Melissa Sandis. Happy birthday to both of you. Also, we drove by the World Equestrian Center the other day. The place was packed. I mean, it was packed because the National Collegiate Equestrian Association National Championships were going on. So there was a bunch of college teams there. And what comes with college teams is families to watch. So I am happy to report that SMU, Southern Methodist University, won its second consecutive National Collegiate Equestrian Association title, defeating top seed TCU. And that happened Saturday. SMU finished the season 12-4, which included a 5-meet win streak to end the year. They're now 25-5 over the last two seasons, kind of dominating, and they never trailed on Saturday, leading the meet from beginning to end. So congratulations to all those Texas kids who won another national championship.
Wow, cool. So horse, what?
It wasn't Atlanta. The Georgia Bulldogs didn't win. So.
Yeah, I didn't. Like I said, mental capacity is not there. I don't care. So my daily witty goes into my mental abilities were challenged this weekend with one particular horse that I have in training. And of course, I posted it on my Facebook page, on my personal one and business by accident, the first one. And then I screwed up and posted on the other one. Anyway, this horse came, and it belongs to, of course, my best friend, Larissa, has this filly, and she looks two, you guys, but she's 4 years older.
I was going to guess 18 months. I mean, she looks like a baby.
She brought her last fall to me to kind of assess, and I was like, dude, she's too young. Like,
where'd
she's
come
too.
From?
You get stuck with these, Glenn. She bred her.
Oh.
So she had
bred the crazy,
the Saint-Francais mare with her Andalusian stallion, and got a baby who on day one they named her Legs, and
oh
you can
God,
see
she looks like a thoroughbred.
Why they call her Legs. Yeah. She actually looks a lot like Larissa's stallion, who is 17 too. So he's all legs too. So the baby comes to me, and I was like, remember, she's well handled. So I did join up. I did the tacking. I long lined her. And then what happens is I get on her on my belly. And then Larissa would lead me forward. Someone leads me forward just to get the horse used to the weight on the back. Well, the mare wouldn't go. Like, all these things I did, and then I belly her, and Larissa goes to lead her, and she won't move. She won't move. She won't move. And we tried everything nonviolent in the ways to get this horse to move. But I'm like, I'm on my belly. There's only so much I can do when I'm on a 17-hand three-year-old on my belly. So I said, well, bring her back in the spring. I talked to Monty Roberts on the show back in February about this mare because I knew she was going to come. And he gave me a very specific exercise to do with this mare and told me I wasn't allowed to do it and that farm boy had to do it. He was like, did you know how to dally a rope? I was like, yeah, that's where you put the rope around the horn and you drag steers. He's like, yeah. He knows how to do that. He was like, you don't do it. You'll lose a finger. Okay.
So, such confidence.
Yeah, total confidence in my Western riding skills. So anyway, I was like, well, let's see if Maverick can drag a 17-hand filly. And look at these videos, Matt. I mean, I don't know Maverick's history, but that horse has been dragging cows because he was amazing. Barrett was amazing. The instruction was amazing. The filly was leading by the end. And so, of course, I have to send.
Well, the beginning Monty and middle were a little dramatic.
Oh, yeah. No, it was dramatic. She, and you know what? If you listen, go back
she
and listen to
really
Monty
well.
On. Yeah, he literally told me exactly what was going to happen. He's like, this is going to happen. She's going to do this. Then this is going to happen. Then she's going to do this. And then you're going to do this. And then it's going to be fine. And oh my God, Glenn, it's like that guy's amazing. He knows everything and he was completely right. And so I had the dually halter. He was like, that's how I invented the dually halter was because a horse wouldn't lead. And so anyway, it was amazing. It all happened. We're going to continue to work on it. Larissa is super excited and thrilled with the progress, but you know what I had to do? I had to send the videos to Monty, which, you know, if I screw anything up, I'm going to hear about it for the rest of my life, you know? So I send him the videos. I send Debbie the videos and she shows Monty. And then I get a call last night and I look down and it's Pat Roberts, which means it's Pat has dialed the number and handed the phone to Monty, which means I'm probably in trouble. So I pick up the phone. I was in the bathroom and I like pick up, I was like, hi Monty. And I got to tell you, he was like, that was absolutely perfect. Barrett did everything right. He handled that horse perfect. That boy is going places. Y'all did perfect. What a perfect. He was over the moon.
Oh,
he was
gosh.
Like, get me more video. He was like, this is a lesson that should go viral to the world. Everybody needs to see what you guys did. And I was like, we just did what you told us to do. He's like, but you have it on video. Everything is. He was like, this is a big training moment. He was like, now, in one of the videos, you mentioned something that was crippled. And I was like, oh, yeah, not the filly. The horse that's he wanted us to canter around in the round pen leading the mare. Well, Maverick is pretty questionable whether he's kind of crippled. I'm keeping him comfortable. He walks and trots a little bit, but we don't canter him. And Monty was like, no. You need to call a veterinarian. You need to get a veterinarian out there. You need to do this. Or you need to go find yourself a rope and horse that you can borrow. I was like, okay.
Well, there's a lot of those in Oklahoma.
That's what he said. He was like, but I don't know any ropers that are going to borrow the horse. He was like, you need to canter with this horse. You need to get all on video. And this needs to be a whole thing. Anyway, point is, he was super excited. He's like, send that boy to me for a week. I want to spend more time with him. Because Farm Boy has been out with Monty, was at the one of the Monty special trainings. He's come out with me as well. So Monty loves him. I mean, that is like Monty's kind of guy. A tall, quiet, gentle cowboy.
Yep.
I mean,
that
can't get any better. So I was really nervous, but I got the call. And
Barrett's a cowboy's
right
cowboy. He's just that kind of cowboy, you know, the gentle kind of quiet.
Just quiet as a church mouse. So we get all of that done. Because remember, Barrett went with me when I bought Maverick. And when I went to buy Maverick, who's this little buckskin that I got to help Duke retire, when I went to see him, it was like this lesson of like, I'm going to show you how to buy a horse. We're going to do all this stuff. I'm going to show you how to talk to people, blah, blah, blah. And we get there and the guy wouldn't shut up. The horse was in a disaster. And I said, put him in the trailer. Just put him in the trailer. And he was like, but put him in the trailer. And so when we got in the car, I said to Farm Boy, I was like, this is definitely not how you buy a horse. Okay. I didn't ride it. I didn't see it trot. I saw its crippled legs and I was like, just put him in the trailer. Here's your money. So when we got done yesterday, I mean, I was ecstatic. It just went so well. And it was just such a stressful thing for me. And after all of it's done, I get the filly, I put her away. He's sitting on Maverick and he reaches down, and he scratches him on the neck and he goes, good purchase. And that was it. Good purchase. That was it. I was like, thanks. Okay. You want to go home? Oh, but you were asking me about archery.
Yes, you started before the shooting show. Again.
Yeah, I did. I did. So that's kind of Farm Boy's fault too. So he has this horse and he's been working on getting him fit and stronger. And I was like, listen, you're going to leave for 2 months. Why are you working on getting him fit and strong? Do something fun with him. And he was like, what do I do? I'm like, what do you want to do? He's like, I don't know. I go, why don't we teach him mounted archery? And he was like, that sounds fun. So I set it all up. I get the target out there. I'm like, we're going to train your horse. And he goes, you know what? I got to go. It's like, okay. So all this stuff is set up and I'm like, let me pick a horse. So I grabbed the spooky one and I was like, maybe this will make him more brave. So I took Miles, the spooky Andalusian, out there. And day two, I posted yesterday and I was shooting off of him. And I forgot how fun it is. And before I couldn't do it because my shoulders hurt so bad. But after surgery, now I can shoot again. So I'm like, Miles might be a little mounted archery horse for me. And then we started Farm Boy's horse yesterday.
You forget to have fun too.
I do. Because I get horses like Larissa's monster. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's true of a lot of people, right? You get so caught up in the care and, you know, just the work and all that stuff, you forget to have fun.
Yeah, it's true. And I need some fun right now. So I'm definitely
traveling to Mongolia for mounted archery competitions very soon. I can see.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's going to happen.
You know, worm flooring now does roofs, too. Leaky roofs are a very common problem with horse trailers and RVs. Worm flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. It seals your roof, so it stops the leaks before they start. And it reflects nearly 90% of the UV rays, keeping your trailer up to 60 degrees cooler on a hot day. And in Oklahoma or Florida, that's something you want. So ditch the duct tape and the buckets and invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. That's what it's called. And it's $7.50 per square foot. It's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier RV. And anybody that's had an RV or a trailer leak knows what a pain in the neck that is. So keep your horses happier and cooler. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. All right, it's time for study show. Now, we're going to do it a little different this time because I knew you were going to be in a mental state.
Oh, boy.
But so what I did is I took the title, and you're only going to have to guess one word this time. So I'm going to say blank, where's the word you have to guess in the title of the study. And what we do is I go to Google and I search for the ridiculous things that we've spent money on studying over the last month as the world and the country. And usually they're the same thing every month because we keep spending money studying the same things, or they're ridiculously simple and easy to conclude the answer. Because we already know the answer.
Yeah, somebody's got a grant for something yes. That was a waste of money.
Waste of money.
Now, are you concerned about me being inappropriate? Is that why you're limiting me to one word?
No, I was concerned about you having any mental faculty to guess this at all.
Look, since it says the guy who can't talk.
Right, exactly. All right, here we go. And I even have some horsey ones in this one.
Okay.
So studies show that 2 hours a week blank restores one's soul. 2 hours a week in blank restores one's soul.
I was going to say pooping immediately.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Well, it restores a lot of things, actually. It is restorative. I give you that. You're not wrong, in other words. And you know what? If I looked hard enough, there's probably a study that says that.
2 hours a week in the bathroom is collectively the amount of time we should all be spending in the bathroom restoring ourselves. I like it.
Well, you know what? I think that's better than the answer that actually was for the study. Studies show 2 hours a week in nature restores one's soul. I swear we've had a study about how nature is good for you every month for the last 10 years.
How does one study that exactly? Do you take blood work before you go into nature and then after, and they check your iron level? Like,
they
what,
hide
your
some
oxygen?
People in the house and never let them leave, so they're never in nature? And is that the baseline? I don't know. I don't read the studies, Jamie.
2 hours a week outside. I swear to God, I spend 2 hours a day inside. So, yeah.
Okay, so
I should be way healthier.
Studies show that postpartum depression... Oh, let me start this over. Postpartum depression. Studies show that blank suffer too.
Oh, if you say the husband, I will murder
you. No, that's true. It is the husband. Well, if you think about it, I think this is logical because they have to put up with the wife who's going through depression and also help take care of the baby. Is the husband going to be thrilled when she's a mess? No. Everybody's going to suffer that's in the whole house, right?
I don't think that you can say men suffer at all regarding children, okay? Especially postpartum. But I will tell you, if you want to take an example of this, my son is 10 years old, Glenn. 10 years old. Do you know what my husband did during his paternity leave? He had 2 weeks. Now, Ashley, Ashley's husband gets
3 months.
Yeah. Chad is like offended by that, by the way.
Yeah, I bet he is.
He got 2 weeks. And do you know what he did that whole two weeks?
Golf?
Well, he installed a car stereo into the car. Like, why? I walk outside. The truck is in 9 million pieces. The dashboard is off. He's like installing a car stereo. I'm like, we don't even have that truck anymore. God, I was so furious.
Recent studies show, I knew we'd have fun with that one. Recent studies show measurable links between blank and health benefits. By the way, this is another one we've had over and over and over again over the last 2 years.
I mean, when you talk about measuring and health benefits, I thought about boys measuring their wieners, I'm telling you, this is a bad call. Okay, say it again.
Recent studies show measurable links between blank and health benefits. This one's easy. We've had this one a lot in Alaska. It's not sex either.
Water consumption. I don't know.
Pets.
Okay.
How many have we had? We all know that pets help your health. We don't need to study it anymore. It's good. We got it. Alabama is one of the nation's most blank states, studies show. That's wide open, huh?
Is it redneck? I mean...
Well, it could be. It's not this study.
Okay, I don't know.
Dog friendly.
Oh.
Which was not the answer you were expecting.
No, not at all. Okay, I'm going to stop thinking negative. Okay. I'm going to say positive.
Latest study shows blank is a good workout. We've also had this one.
Come on. It's got to be sex. You told me not to be dirty. And here
sex.
You give me something like that.
It's not sex. Although I knew that'd be your guess.
Running.
Walking. Yes, walking, running. You know, how many studies have we said walking's good for you? And what's the magic number that everybody says you should have to walk every day to be healthy?
10,000 steps a day.
You know, not true. True, because many other studies have said 10,000. This one says 4,000, so I think it was kind of a lazy study.
Oh, my gosh. Do you remember when I moved here and I was like baffled by one of the commercials that was on the radio? And I talked about this, like one of those things living in Oklahoma. I was just so confused. What state was this study done in, Glenn?
I have no idea.
Okay. So one of the commercials that came on the radio, one of the PSAs was to remind people to move for 30 minutes a day. I was like, wait, you have to tell people to move for 30 minutes a day? It was like a whole campaign. Move 30 minutes a day. Okay. God bless them.
I know. I think, you know, there's some people probably working offices that don't leave 30 minutes a day. This one's specifically targeted to you.
Uh-oh.
And you're not going to like the answer. Girls with a male twin. By the way, Jamie has a male twin.
I do.
Girls with a male twin develop blank behaviors.
Salty behaviors, because I am...
You know, it's kind of close, actually.
You just tell me the answer.
Manly. And this is why I actually looked at this one, because I thought, I got to get you more information. So girls with a male twin develop manly behaviors because of extra testosterone passed to them in the womb.
What?
He gave you his testosterone, apparently.
Wait, hold on.
I know you're so manly, not girly-girly at all. You know,
so
you were a little tomboy. Let's be honest, though.
I was a total tomboy, yeah. And I swear a lot. So, you know, yes. There's those things, yes. Too.
Yes. And you get along with men very well because you're trying to think like them. I mean, you've answered sex to 12 of these already. So, I mean, think about it. UK pets show increasing interest in blank, study finds. UK pets show increasing interest in blank.
The royal family.
Close. Close. Actually, you're close. TV. Television.
Okay. That wasn't close, but
here's
I'll take
some,
it.
Here's some horsey ones. Studies show that these color thoroughbreds are worth more.
Oh, I just read this, and it was gray or chestnut.
You're right. Gray and chestnut.
Yeah, because somebody sent that to me. I'm like, clearly, I'm a billionaire because I have a gray one.
Yes, gray and chestnut. And then finally, and I can tell you this has changed every year for the last 12 years. Studies show that eating more than 12 eggs a week is shown to blank cholesterol levels.
Oh, I mean, every time they're raised and lower. I'm going to go with raised. I think we're on the upswing this time.
Nope, we're on the lower.
Oh!
It does not increase cholesterol levels.
So I can eat 12 eggs a week and
fine.
Not worry?
Oh. Yeah, you're fine.
You know no what? Problem. I don't like eggs, but I can tell my husband that. He loves them.
You're fine. Yep, so there you go. There's the study show for April. Did you like it? Was it easier this way with me just type, you know, do one word?
Here's the thing. After I guess, don't look for a second guess because it's just going to get worse. So just after I guess.
So when you go with sex with the first guest, I should just move on?
Just say, no, it's this next one. You know what I mean? So there's not like a dramatic pause where my brain just goes deeper into the dirt hole that I'm in. Okay.
All right. And now why don't you talk about our next sponsor while I get our guest on the line?
Oh, bless her heart. Sorry. Cosequin.
They're so proud right now.
I know. Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
All right, we're going to go right away to our only guest today, actually, and that's Deanne from Horse Nation. She stops by once a month, and we talk about some of the articles that have happened over there. And then we're getting Sally from the sister Eventing Nation on Wednesday, so it's Nation Week here on the show.
Love it.
And hopefully Deanne will answer. There she is.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Perfectly. How are you?
Good. So is this too strong? How do I sound?
You sound fantastic. And
okay,
we're recording
I got
right
a
now,
new.
So you're good.
Oh, well, then people get to hear this. I got a new microphone and I have my headphones connected to it.
Oh my
but
God.
It's so sensitive. I can hear my dog breathing and she's on the other side of the couch. I got like super
fantastic.
Paranoid about it. Okay, well, good.
Congratulations for joining the modern world.
Hey, you know, you guys had sent me a mic years ago, and, you know, I have three small children, so
that got
played with a lot. Well, destroyed is a strong word, but, like, yeah, so I got a new one.
They dropped it
so
in the
toilet. So usually
we
talk to you, you're, like, in the tack room, but you don't sound like you're in the tack room.
No, I'm on my couch. After I get off of the call with you, I will be in the tack room.
Okay, gotcha.
So, Deanne, it's a big week. Obviously, we've been talking about Jamie's heading to Kentucky. All your compatriots are heading to Kentucky. Are you heading to Kentucky?
I am not.
Come on.
I know. I have to take care of things at home.
Do what I do. Just leave your children home with your husband and bye.
Peace well, out. I mean, I was actually talking about the horses.
That too.
Speaking
of Eventing Nation will be there in force. So keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, Sally's coming on the show Wednesday to give us a kind of a preview. So
that's great.
We'll talk to her on Wednesday. Hey, one of the articles you sent over was called Triple Trouble, Someone Looks Up to You. And I think as humans, forget horses and all that stuff, and I'll have you go over what this says, but I think as humans, we forget this sometimes, that not just children, but people do look up to you, right? And your actions are what they're watching. So anyway, tell us about the article.
Oh, I mean, and absolutely, I totally agree, right? Like, before I get into the article, there's some saying that says something like, people are always trying to show you who they are, listen when they do, or pay attention, something along those lines. But yes, absolutely. People are always looking up to you. And I think this is especially true with kids to adults, period, hard stop. But then especially when you get into the competition realm, whether it's on horses or like whatever else. And Marcella, who's one of our freelancers and also one of my good friends, we both, as we're competing in mounted shooting, have wranglers we're bringing up. So wranglers are our youth riders, but in mounted shooting, it's a little bit different because they start competing against the adults at about age 12. So it's not your typical youth or junior class, but so our wranglers are the 11 to early 12-year-olds and younger. And she's been hauling her niece all over the country with her. Her niece is doing fantastic. But one thing that Marcy pointed out is she goes, all of a sudden, she goes, I've always looked up to horse people for various reasons. But she goes, now I notice what my niece is seeing and why she looks up to people and what seems to make a difference for her. Which I thought was really cool to think about it that way, to think about what her niece was noticing. Because the people that her niece picked out as the ones she looked up to were great choices. Like, kids are incredibly intuitive. They know when you're faking it, but right, the reasons are different than maybe we as adults would. And it varied from people just being kind to her when they didn't necessarily have to be, to the way they were riding. And she refers to her niece looking up to Kendall Onsine, who's like this 5-time world champion in the world of mounted shooting. Like, she's the name that people know, right? Like, she's the end all be all. And Marcy goes, you know, Camille loved watching her, but she had no idea who she was watching. It was the fact that that rider made a point to come and high five her on her victory lap. Whereas, you know, not all riders thought to do that for the kids. But she goes, that's what was important to my niece, that this rider took time to recognize her. Or she talks about another trainer, Ezra Yoder, who's a great guy, and he does some cool things. Like, he runs mounted shooting patterns in only a neck rope, which is insane to me and awesome. But like, he made a point to offer advice, to let Camille ride his horse, you know, and things like that. And it's just all these little things that are just people being good people and good competitors that kids pick up on. And that I always think, like, man, those are the people we need to be like. Like, winning's great. We all like to win. But the way we do it and the way we handle it is what matters.
I think we've all seen examples of what not to do. So it should be pretty easy to just pick yourself around those.
I was just going to say, kids also notice the person in the corner beating their horse. They also notice that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's what they do with it, right? Do they look at that and go, well, I don't want to be that guy? And right. So, you know, you're right. I mean, it goes both ways. And I think, too, it's how you deal. The kids always bring up the guy beating the horse in the corner, right? They'll bring that up to the parents. And I think it's also how the parents deal with that situation, with how the kid's going to deal with it later.
Yeah.
Right.
So just remember, you're always being watched. In our case, we have to be careful, too. I mean, look, we've been doing this show for 14 years. You know,
I would like to apologize for my behavior in the last 15 minutes. Sorry.
I mean, we have to. Sometimes we're. It's just like Jamie and I are talking, and we forget people are listening. You know, but we have to be careful of that too.
And Jamie, didn't you tell me one of the last times I was on that, that one of the auditors plays it for her class of, are they elementary schoolers?
And that scares us to death, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to apologize to them. They're still listening to this episode. But yeah, I mean, there's like, I don't like to say the word sex, even though it came up today, which is what I'm apologizing for. Because like, that is something that I have, now that I have a 10-year-old child, he learned a lot of stuff from The Simpsons. So I appreciate them educating him on a lot of stuff. But like, I had to answer a lot of questions when he was watching that show.
And then I said, oh, you should watch Ghosts. And then she starts watching Ghosts with her kid. And
my God. Ghost like Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze Ghost?
Ghost, the new TV series. And
how bad am I? I'm old.
It's hilarious, but I didn't realize how much sexual innuendo was in it until Jamie brought it up. And
Mom?
Now I see it.
Mom? What's an orgasm? Thanks, Glenn.
Oh, let's go on to the next article before Jamie gets any more trouble. Thoroughbred Logic, presented by Kentucky Forums Products, one of our terrific sponsors. They don't care if they show. You know, this is, and again, I'll have you review what this is, but Jennifer, I sometimes feel really guilty because I don't have more time to spend driving my pony. And she keeps reminding me, look, your pony doesn't care. Your pony cares that he's fed. Your pony cares that he's out, that you come over and give him some attention, that you brush him, you take him on a little walk. That's what he cares. He's not sitting there thinking, you haven't driven me in a week. That's kind of what this article's about.
Right. And Aubrey's another one of our great freelancers. She's been writing for Horse Nation for a while. And she pens a weekly series called Thoroughbred Logic. But it's training in general that often applies to more than thoroughbreds, because after all, horses are horses. But she does specialize in thoroughbreds. And her article kind of goes on to talk about how she's been beating herself up a bit for not meeting her show goals, you know, as she's bringing along these green thoroughbreds and reselling them and life is happening. You know, she's going, I had all these things I wanted to do. But exactly that, at the end of the day, the horse doesn't care if it's showing. It doesn't know that it's not showing.
This is exactly where I'm at right now, which is the guilt of I haven't taken Ace, my thoroughbred, to a show at all. And like, I'm trying to guilt myself into going to one in May, you know, but like, cause I'd love to do it. I want to do it. And I'm like, well, I haven't prepped him for that. I don't feel like I'm dropping the ball on his competitive career. So I'm gonna go read this right now. Bye.
Bye, Jamie. See you later.
I like the third paragraph here. It said, your horse does not care if she shows. She doesn't care at what level she is running. She is not offended by the little jumps or the fact that there is not a USEA stamp on the competition. She cares that she has a partner who loves her and wants to ride and pay attention to her and gets her experience however and whenever that happens. We kind of think they have the same goals we do. No, they don't.
No. I mean, for the most part, mine want to be out and eating grass. That's their goal in life.
For the most part, I think that's all the horses.
Right. But, no kidding. I mean, I feel like I've had horses over the years that some are workers more than others, right? Like you have that horse who's like, oh, it's time to ride, let's go. But for the horse, I don't know that it particularly matters whether that's in the competition pen or in my arena at home. Like my thoroughbred, she's happier when she's in regular work. She's sounder in regular work. Structure does her well. But, you know, she doesn't reason it out like that, right? Like it's me going, oh, I can tell that you do better under work. But she's pretty okay just being fat in the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, that's a good reminder for all of us that get obsessed, right, over whatever, you know, with your horses. It's, you know, your horse is happy if he or she is being fed and loved on. that's what they care about ultimately. And yes, Scooter does like to go on adventures, and he loves to have his adventures. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I have all mares, so they're pretty happy if they're being fed, and sometimes they will tolerate being loved on. I don't know that that's their goal, though.
Hey, how much time do you have?
I have some time. What's up?
Do you want to hang around for a question, first world problems?
Ooh, yes.
Okay, these are problems that our auditors are having, you know, first world problems.
Love your first world problems.
Okay, well, why don't you hang around for that? First, I have to talk about...
I want you to think of one, too, though.
Yes.
You got to have your own.
Oh, man.
You can think about it while we talk about Purina. Attention, horse owners. Are you looking to help your horse recover with ease after a strenuous workout? Would you like to nourish your horse and their digestive system? If so, try the new Purina Replenimash product. It's much more than a mash. Replenimash promotes hydration, replenishes electrolytes, and supports gastric comfort. Put Purina's research to the test. Stop into your local Purina dealer and grab a bag of Purina Replenimash product. All right, time now for something we do every week. And I don't know, have you been for a question first world problems before?
I think I have. I think we talked about, I'm trying to remember this because I think we talked about like Pelotons versus things that we have.
All right, well, here's you might remember this then.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Usually is because people are sharing their emotional trauma that they're going through with their horses. And some of them are pretty serious today. I mean, it's heartbreaking, Dan. Like the stuff that people have to suffer through. So remember, I go into the Facebook page for the Horse Radio Network auditors on Sundays. And I ask for you to submit the troubles and the woes that you are going through with owning horses. And if you want to participate in this, become an auditor, how do they do that, Glenn?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner in the middle of the page. Excuse me. And for as little as $3 a month, you too can join the party.
Well, we're going to start with previously mentioned Larissa, who's part of the show today, I guess, because she has a first world problem, too. And it says, I am going to the Kentucky 3-day event with my bestie. And by the way, I heard about this like last week and I was like, ugh. But I'm going to miss like 4 days of my prize peonies while they're in bloom. Oh, my God.
We moved into this house and there were pineapple plants. And sure enough, we go on vacation for 2 weeks and the pineapples became pineapples and died during the 2 weeks. We had a chance to have 4 homegrown pineapples that all died during that 2 weeks.
Oh, no. That's a fruit. You can eat that. These are flowers. Okay, whatever. Sharon says, OMG, I am so tired from like dragging my arena and making my property beautiful that I have no energy to ride.
That's true of 90% of horse owners.
I have to remind myself of that. Like my first priority is to get these horses that are in training ridden and worked. And some days I don't muck the stall. I don't muck the stall, you guys, every single day. Oh my God. See, but that's a sacrifice that I make. Okay. Deal with it. And Nicole says the weather was absolutely gorgeous on Saturday and 2 separate friends wanted to ride with me. So my horse and I ended up doing a total of 13.5 miles riding with one friend in the morning and the other friend in the evening. I guess I'm just too popular. Carrie says after getting hurt right after Christmas, I finally was feeling good enough to ride my horse and we even trotted. Woohoo! But I'm so sore from the 1.5 minutes of trotting. Dude, you could not ride. If I don't ride for 3 or 4 days and I get back on, I'm sore again. I don't understand. Oh, when
100%. Or I find when I go from my finished horse to green horses, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how many muscles this took.
Yeah.
Or takes, yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Core strength is like a thing. Katie says, my mare, and you'll probably relate to this because it's a mare thing, but my mare rubbed her beautiful mane bald right in the middle. So it's either deal with an awkward looking bald spot or roach it. What do you do, Deanne? Are you roaching or are you going to have the bald spot?
I don't know. So my horses all have long manes because, again, Western world, we don't pull.
Yeah, but what if she rubbed half of her mane bald right in the middle?
I might roach it.
Yeah,
I either would roach it or it would depend on how bald it was. If it were like real bald, I would just roach it.
Me too. I'd be cutting that mane off.
So
I've only ever had them lose a little chunk, and usually I can braid and hide it until it grows back in.
You just add a little clip-on braid.
you braid over that section so it doesn't show.
Well, we'll have to see, Katie. You'll have to send us pictures. And how bald is she? Taylor says, I am able to have 100% free hay for my mares all year long.
Ugh.
But that means my hay guy needs me to move my arena poles out of the way so we can cut the hay. And I can't ride without corners, so I guess I just have to trail ride every day.
Oh, my God. I would do some sketchy stuff for that.
Yeah. The aforementioned word we don't talk about. Probably do that.
Hey, Ellen, cut.
Okay. Ellen says, this is so something I would do, and probably you would too, because we have mom brain sometimes. But Ellen said, I missed my lesson because I was looking all over the house for my riding helmet. I couldn't find my helmet. Turns out I left it at the barn.
Yep, I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gone to a show without a girth, so there's no limit.
Oh, that's always. So, you know how you have your like either mental or written out checklist? Mine is always saddle girth, saddle pad, bridle. The rest I don't care. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. The rest we can figure out.
Here to add on to that helmet first world problem. I purposefully have two 1Ks specifically so that when I leave one in my truck or my trailer, the other one sits in the barn.
Okay, there you go. So you're going to have to buy two, Ellen.
Yeah.
Ariel says, it's Rolex week and I'm excited to go back this year, but I'm coming off an 11-day work week, so I have the whole 3-day weekend for it. Well, you planned right. You understood the assignment, Ariel.
But also 11 days. I get her. I see that.
That sucks. Samantha says, I have 4 beautiful horses to ride at a wonderful facility and prep for shows. But I have an 8.5-hour a day job and only one butt. Kelly says, I might have a great solution to, I don't train driving horses, so I don't really understand this one, but maybe you will. I might have a great solution to move my horse along in his training, hook him up with a draft horse and just put him to work. Apparently, it just so happens I married a guy who grew up driving draft horses, and we have a seasoned draft mare here just for this. But I'm going to need to, like, hand over my horse to my husband to do that. I wouldn't do it.
That's a no-go.
No-go.
Solid pass.
Kara, this is fairly normal, but I understand your pain. She says, my brand new saddle didn't come with stirrups. You think you spend enough, it should have leathers and stirrups.
They don't.
Confuses me. That's such a, like, that blows me away, again, as somebody with a Western riding background, that I'm like, what do you mean the leathers and the irons don't come with it? Why is this, like, I get buying.
Do all Western saddles come with stirrups?
Yes. I mean, they might not be the greatest, but if you buy a new saddle, it's got stirrups on it. Uh-huh. That you may trade them out for, like, higher quality ones, but... Like, or the leather part blows me away in the English world. The fact that they don't come with leather sometimes. Look,
of us like particular types of leathers, okay?
I get, but like some basic, you know, straps would be great. And I think about that, like, well, you would never get a Western saddle without fenders.
Well, like, I've thought about that.
It would be
kind of
hard to do it, Western
you
saddle
can't
without
do that.
Fenders.
Yeah. Kind of part of the design. But I've noticed English is starting to turn towards the Western, which is buying a bridle that doesn't have any reins. Because don't y'all buy headstalls separate?
Yeah, 100%. Come with reins are usually like cheaper setups.
Okay. Yeah, cheaper it is, the less... The more stuff it has. Got it.
Right.
And finally, the last one, which is Melanie. Making a good decision, Melanie. She said, I have to miss a Hunter pace this weekend because I'll be at Rolex. Still a good call. Good train.
See, I went the opposite direction. I will be at a show this weekend and not Rolex.
Oh, well, you know what? That's fine. We don't be fine.
You know, it's whatever.
It's fine.
Well, you know what? Can you stay another 5 minutes?
Yeah, but hey, by the way, I came up with two of my own in the
I was told
I had to come up with my own, I did.
All right.
Okay, so the first one, my 12-year-old daughter is going to have to miss a show in 2 weeks because she has to attend a bat mitzvah at the National Aviary.
Oh, my God. So don't these people understand who they're inviting? Bat mitzvah is like all day.
Yeah, but she's super excited about
it. Is it 13 years old, bat mitzvah?
It is 13, but she's not. The friend is turning 13.
Gotcha.
By the way, happy Passover, everybody. Starts today. Yep. So you should probably know that.
Yeah, right. Oh, good to know. Thank you. And then the second one was, I hate it when I spend $7 on a bag of apples and they're spongy and gross, so then my horses have to get them.
Carrots are the same way.
I buy apples because of that.
So usually I, you know, buy the $7 bag of apples, eat a few of them, then my horses get them. But when the first one is gross.
Good point. Good point.
That is true.
All right. Well, everybody, it's going to be a great week. And Wednesday we will have Sally on from Eventing Nation and we'll do some preview and
And we will have shows on Friday and Monday. Ashley will be filling in for you. So we will be here. We'll definitely have shows, even though Jamie's out gallivanting around Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And Deanne, hold on, because we're going to do a quick post show. And I got to ask you about this, too. So now that you have this mic working, we're going to keep you longer.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, everybody. Tomorrow is the Chi University episode, Horse Husbands, later in the week. And Jamie and I will be here back with you on Wednesday. And, of course, Deanne is from Horse Nation, horsenation.com. See y'all.
Bay Neuter Geld.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
Hey, Glenn, you know the vet that I went to see this past week when Taco got his stuff? She went to the Chi Institute.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to get any kind of West or Eastern training, you're going to go to Chi. I mean, that's just where they go. So this weekend, Deanne, I was cleaning out the house because we're getting ready for a potential move to our new farm. And, every time you move is when you get rid of crap, right?
Right.
So, and we got rid of a lot of crap again this time. So, I can see why, though, when you don't move for 20 years, you accumulate a lot of crap. And there's no reason to go through it to get rid of it, right?
Right. That was honestly my favorite thing about the fire is I was like, oh my God, look at all this stuff we can get rid of. But the problem was that when the fire mediation company came in, they like just boxed up everything that wasn't ruined, which was like great. They were fabulous. But as a result, all the boxes of crap got moved back into my house. So like,
you get to purge.
You had to deal with it. So one of the things I found was my yearbook. And this got me thinking. Next year is going to be my 45th high school reunion.
Nice.
45. I'm old. My God. Holy
You're
crap.
So old.
Have you gone to any of yours, Deanne?
None of my high school reunions.
Jamie?
I went to one. I told you guys about this.
I don't remember. This 5 or 10 years?
I went to my 10-year and This is the epitomizes my high school career. Okay. So I was on the radio in Atlanta and went to high school in Atlanta and I was on the radio in Atlanta and they give awards at the end of the reunion. And I won most famous in my high school. Like,
really?
That's super cool. So I come up and I accept my award. And the guy who's our class president, he's like, and most famous goes to Jamie Massey. It's only because Robert's not here because he's in the NFL. So I
you were
won
second place.
On a caveat.
You got like the consolation prize. That's amazing.
You're the second most. Like, you're not it. Like, and I was like, you know what? I'm not. Why do I do this to myself? Like, why do I do this to myself? I just can't do it.
I went to one. It was my 10-year. And I had the acting company then. And they actually invited us back. So think about this. First reunion I go back to, they invited us back to perform for half an hour during the reunion. So I had to think about that one for a long time if I actually wanted to do that. I was playing the king then. And
they're just going to make fun of you.
Yeah, exactly. So what I thought was, you know, there was this one kid that always picked on me mercilessly in high school. He's going to be there. I'm going to go back as the king during this little thing we're doing. And there's one particular story I do that makes a fool out of somebody in the audience and makes his wife look wonderful and makes him look like an idiot. And that's who I picked. I got to tell you, that was so satisfying after all those years to get that guy back. It was worth going back. I've never been to a reunion since. I've never even heard about that.
You're like,
sites.
Mic drop.
That's it. I'm out. And as a matter of fact, we went in and did the show for a half an hour, and then we left. I didn't even stay. And we had another show to do. We drove immediately to another show. So I didn't visit with anybody, anything. I just made a fool of this guy. We had a little bit of fun. I left. That was it. This last reunion I've ever been to.
That's amazing. So I have to be honest. I feel like, for as much as social media is a pain in the butt, Facebook for me kind of fills that void that high school reunions would fill. Like, you know, I, minus maybe a couple of close friends that I lost touch with just because I'm really bad at that over the years. If I'm friends with somebody, I'm friends with them. Like, how I talk to them, you know, and so the like small talk, like, how's it going? What are you doing for a job? How many kids do you have? Great. Nice to see you again. I can get that on Facebook.
That's true. How many of your high school friends are you actually friends with and talk to?
Now?
Yeah, now.
Now, none. Well, one, but not as often as I should.
I'm one. I'm one. How about you, Jamie?
Two, maybe two.
I actually, Glenn, went on Facebook a couple years ago and unfriended everybody I went to high school with.
Did you really?
I did. As I was like, I don't, that's like when you see things like, I just didn't need, like, when certain things are presented to you, you can't, like, you hear a song, you think about something that happened to you during that song, or takes you back to, like, my high school years were torturous for many reasons. My parents got divorced when I was 15, like, right in the middle. It's just like, there was
a
whole
lot
of, I was a horse girl. I had a twin brother, and my parents just kind of forgot about us, and I made some really bad decisions and tried to kill myself for like years by behaving very poorly. And I just needed to cleanse from all that. I don't want to see these people and then think about that time we did that thing. Like, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to make Facebook a happy place. And pretty much all my friends are listeners. <That's> weird.
good for you. I definitely, like, I know I'm Facebook friends with a lot of people that I was only associates with. But you know how, like, on Facebook, like, it'll pop up, like, people you may know. There are definitely some that I'm actively like, oh, hell no. It doesn't even matter that I know you can see my profile through other friends. I don't give a shit, but, like, no. Hard pass.
It's true. I see, I'm like, people request me, and I'm like, you didn't like me ever. Why would I want you to be involved in things that I do on a daily basis? You know, like, I want my social media to be a happy, safe place for me. And that's what I did. So, yeah.
So another study I didn't put in the study show today was the study showed that 40% of people stalk their old exes. And this is boyfriends or exes. Have you ever looked up your exes?
I mean, not in a long time, not in a very long time. I don't give a shit anymore.
What?
You know, like, here's one thing. I had a really, really, really shitty boyfriend when I lived in Kentucky. And I think I told you about this. It was probably 5-6 years ago. And I was doing some research for something on the bloodhorse.com, which is the horse racing kind of published magazine. And there was a fucking article about him in there. Like, he had done, say, he was like involved in thoroughbred sales at the time or something. He didn't know shit about horses when we were dating. And so now he's like, there's an article written about him in the Blood Horse. And I don't think I read the Blood Horse for 2 years.
You blame the Blood Horse.
That's amazing.
And he's the guy who, it was talking about his wife. And I was like, oh, that was my best friend. He's married. He like,
oh,
as soon as
no.
I left him, yeah, he was talking about his wife and the kids that they had. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Awesome. Congrats. Great. And I was like, you deserve each other. It's fine. My best friend, roommate, what all that, who knows what was going on the whole time. Yeah.
That's hard. See, I haven't stalked any exes because one, I don't have that many. And two, like the ones I do have were on good terms and we were Facebook friends anyway.
Okay.
But I've definitely stalked.
Yeah, see how that gives me disdain? I'm like, no, she's such like a good girl.
No, but I definitely stalked my like brother-in-law's ex and some of my friend's exes that I like actively unfriended because I was so mad about the way they broke up that then I'll like jump on my husband's Facebook profile and go stalk them.
Oh, you know, that's it. Oh, you put him, throw him under the bus. So,
well, he's never on it.
You just don't want to piss off a woman. And especially a horse woman, because, you know, a regular woman, it gets pissed enough, but a horse woman can do shit about it. You know,
well, like,
we can handle ourselves. So don't make it.
You know, what's really sad is after coming to this revelation that it's 45 years for the reunion, I saw this study today about exes. I started thinking, I don't remember their names. I probably had four or five girlfriends between high school to 25 years old when I met Jennifer. I don't remember. I remember one name, and that's the one I was engaged to, and I'll never forget her name.
one would hope.
And I don't know where she is now because I wouldn't know what her last name is. But yeah, so there you go. I don't remember their names. That's how old I am.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I think I remember like my first grade boyfriend's name.
I know, right? I remember everybody. What?
I do remember the first girl I ever held hands with in fifth grade. So maybe you'd always remember that
was her name?
Melanie. She was Mennonite, actually.
Melanie what?
Melanie Martin.
Melanie Martin. Who is your first boyfriend,
Deanne?
She's
Mennonite. She wouldn't be on Facebook.
No.
My first boyfriend, Chris Barr.
Chris Barr. My first boyfriend was Scotty Hartman. Okay. Never forget this.
That's
shit.
Such a classic name, Scotty Hartman. That's just such
Scotty
a classic
Hartman.
Name. I held hands with Melanie once in the school bus on the way to a field trip, and that was it. I think we were in
Glenn,
fifth
where
grade.
Are you from originally?
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
There it is, because you're like, she was Mennonite. I was like, time out.
Yeah,
I
well, half my school was Mennonite, you know, so.
Correct.
Now, they were the more progressive Mennonites. They drove cars. Some of them even had TVs. You know, so they were progressive.
Glenn, do you remember your first girlfriend's name?
Yes, it was but my girlfriend all through high school was 4 years. Her name was Lori. And she stayed good friend. And, you know, we broke up. She cheated on me, actually. So that we broke up.
Bitch.
And then she stayed friends with my parents. They lived in the same town. She stayed friends with my parents till they died. They were friends. And, you know, I had seen her a couple times. It wasn't like, you know, it was a big deal. It was kind of not meant to be. So, you know, she sped it along so I could date other people. Because we dated the whole way through high school.
You know, not me, but my husband's first girlfriend. He, you know, high school girlfriend, like whatever, ended, it's all fine. But he got along really well with her parents. And her father's a goldsmith. And he made my wedding an engagement ring and my husband's wedding ring.
No.
So there you go.
You live in a tiny little town in Oklahoma or what?
I mean, close.
Yeah. So there you go. There's some stories. I'm friends with one of the girlfriends I had, who I do remember her name, to this day. And, you know, Jennifer's met her and, you know, that was just short-lived anyway. But, you know, I'm trying to think if I have any like Jamie's where it was a total chit show after. I don't think I do have a
chit show. I have a list, okay? I have a list.
Does that say anything about you or them, Jamie? I'm not sure.
Oh, dude. It was, well, poor choices. I made some poor choices. And I would say from my 20s, the best thing I can think of is it's a joke. Okay. What do you call a musician who just broke up with his girlfriend?
Don't know.
homeless. Okay. That is how my 20s was. Okay. I dated musicians and then they would become homeless because they were sleeping at my house because they were, and my mom, and I lived with my mom in my 20s too. So like my mother remained friends with my ex-boyfriend Andrew for like years, and she didn't tell me she was talking to him, and he called her phone and I was like, I got it. And I picked it up and it was Andrew. I was like, why are you calling my mother? And I was like, I have this whole thing. My mom, we broke up 2 years ago. You can't keep in touch with my ex-boyfriend. You just can't. Who do you want?
I think I wrecked some relationships for my sister. So she moved, my sister's 12 years older than I am, and she moved back in with us at one point when I was like, not yet eight, right? And she was seeing two guys. And this is pre-cell phones and everything else. And here I am as like a seven-year-old answering the phone. And I picked up the phone and one of the boyfriends, I forget which one, actually, I know which one it wasn't, was like, heard my voice and was like, oh, hi, Deanne. Like, how are you doing? Like, you know, talked to me, was really friendly. And was like, can I talk to Shelly? I was like, okay, hold on, Dion. And like, set down the phone. My sister gets on the phone, hangs up and was like, and I forget what the other boyfriend was. And she was like, that was Bob. And I was like, I mean, maybe don't trust your seven-year-old sister not to, you know, spill that you have two boyfriends.
Because of course, the first thing he said was, who the hell is Dion? Nice job.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
Or when my sister was a teenager and was living with us, she'd have her boyfriends over while she was babysitting me and be like, don't tell mom and dad that Bob was here. And my mom would get home. I'd be like, mom, Bob was not here.
Definitely was not.
Why do we trust our siblings at all? We shouldn't.
Oh,
they weren't nice to us back then.
No. And if they're not actively ratting you out like me, I'm a little kid, I'm accidentally ratting you out.
Well, remember we've talked earlier in the show, I have a twin brother, and I would remain friends with anybody who didn't sleep with my brother. It was like it's been a thing my whole life. If you sleep with my brother, we're no longer friends. And I tell people that now, like forever. I would be like, just so you know, if you sleep with him, we're not friends anymore. And I lost a lot of friends.
I mean, incredibly attractive?
Yeah, was it the twin thing? It's just because he was your twin brother?
He's my twin brother. My two brothers and I in my 20s bought a house together. And it was a split level house. So I had the top floor. It was like, not a huge house, but like I had the top floor, but like my bedroom was on the top of the bathroom, and then the next floor down, the next floor, and each one of us had our own floor, and in the middle it was like four stories, but like cracker box type, like stacked on top of each other, and the middle floor was the kitchen and the living room. And so if I had friends over, my brothers were there, I lived there. And so yeah, my brother's just a pig. So he just, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Jamie, I've always wanted to ask you this. You and I had the same situation. We made a lot of money when we were young. And you know, I don't know about you, but I blew a lot of money when I was young. I mean, at 19, I made $150,000 because I just figured out the sales thing right away. I was good at it. And you were in radio making a lot of money. Do you think it was good or bad to make that much money young?
Well, I'll
you
just
were in your 20s,
you
low 20s, right? When you started, and then in your 20s all the way through radio, right?
Yeah. So my last job, I ended up with $120 a year. And here's what I did with it, is I had a very fancy warm blood, a truck trailer, and I competed almost every weekend. And at the end of the year, I was like, where the fuck is my money? Like, what? What is happening? So I remember when I moved out to Arizona, I like to be with Chad, I limped out there with like 20 grand in my bank account, like saved. Like that was my life savings, because I evented that horse everywhere. We went to the AECs, like we did all the things. I just was like, and I was in a boarding stable, like outside of Atlanta. It was like, you know, take a beer with you, you know, to pay board, you know. So it was really expensive. And I lived like that. It was lovely, Glenn. I would never trade that.
mine went to the first fiance I talked about.
There you go. See, I was like, I was really poor for a long time. I mean, I was an intern of a radio. I was working barn jobs. You know, like there was one point in my life, my dad came to visit me when I lived in Kentucky. And he's like, "Where's your refrigerator?" And I was like, the house didn't come with a fridge. And he's like, "Well, where's your refrigerator? Where's your shit?" And I was like, "Dad, the milk stays good on the porch for like 3 days."
That's what Jennifer did too, while she was a working student and had no fridge for years.
Yeah. That's how you live. So like to then have money. I remember my first job was $33,000 a year. And I was like, "I'm sorry, what?" That was like $1 million. And it turns out that's not very much. But like to me, I was like, "You're going to pay me to do traffic reports. You're going to pay me $33,000 a year. I have won the lottery."
What did you do first, Deanne? What was your first job?
I was a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I started teaching high school.
So you started at 15 a year.
Yeah, basically. I started teaching high school at 21.
What did they pay back then to start?
Okay. So I will be 44 this year. Yeah, okay. So just for perspective.
25 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was low 30s.
Yeah, I'm surprised because
I remember being excited because I got paid biweekly, and I'm trying to remember what the amount was. But I remember in my second year, because I moved up a step, being really excited because my paycheck broke like after taxes and everything, like $1,000. It was probably more than that, but like, again, I don't totally remember at this point. I just know that now, like, I basically collect a part-time paycheck for the stuff I do.
And you know, it's funny.
And it's still, I think, more than I was getting then.
I just read an article that to have a house, for a couple to own a house, you really have to make over $100,000 a year now. I mean, $100,000 a year seemed like rich people were making that.
Right. Well, and you talk about that when you're like, "Oh, at 19, I was making $150,000.
Yeah, that went away, by the way.
But that was 19, you know. Well, you told us when your high school, what high school were you at? So 1980, 100, like, oh my God, you were making bank.
I was. Like, and then I blew bank. It was the wrong thing to do at 19.
But like, you know, you're 19, you don't know.
Yeah. But I was a financial planner. You know how the electrician's house is, the wiring never works?
Right. Yeah,
the cobbler's kids have new shoes.
Right, right.
But actually, this has been a fun and a kind of sad and depressing conversation all at once. Here.
Yeah, awesome.
Actually, some things I've been wanting to ask Jamie, and I thought, wow, you'd be perfect to ask some of these things too. So thanks for hanging out with your brand new mic.
Yeah, sure thing. I kind of like it.
Yeah. No, but you sound terrific. It sounds great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, sounds good. And thanks for joining us today and hanging out a little longer. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy it.
All right, we'll see you all on Wednesday.
All right, everybody. Sorry, I was grumpy. Just wait.
Welcome to life.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now, go ride your horse.